Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. I hope this finds everybody well. And to all who are in the chat and said hello, since I haven't said hello personally, I do so now. And hope you all will forgive me for not greeting you in the chat. I have with me tonight, Anne. Good evening, Anne.
Hi, Robin. Hi, everybody. Glad you could join us tonight.
And Megan. Good evening, Megan.
Hello, everyone.
Karen and Charlie are on the road, so Karen will not be with us. But we are going to continue tonight in going through the Walking in the Spirit seminar, as we've been doing for the last few weeks. And under the larger title, Believers in the Early Church, we're picking up tonight on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And praise God that we can trust His leadership. Amen.
Amen.
Which is really, you know, we can read these words, but we have to believe them on a personal level. So when we listen to these scriptures, let us believe them. And walk in that faith, because I know myself, I believe it's very common and shared amongst us, how easy it is to view ourselves and doubt the Word and doubt the Spirit rather than believe the Word and doubt ourselves. So the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and Megan's going to be our reader tonight. And the first little section under that is Guides into All Truth. And the scripture is John 16, verse 13.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come.
So here we have a promise, and we have this Spirit of truth, I believe all of us, and if not, it is there and available. It is that baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit, the Word of God here says, and let me back up a second, because Jesus is speaking to his disciples who the day of Pentecost has not yet come, hence he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. For us, he has come. He will guide you into all truth. And this is something that we can set ourselves to know, anticipate, trust, and believe. And then it goes on to actually give testimony of the Holy Spirit by saying, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. And this is very, really the testimony that Jesus gave of himself, where he did not do anything of himself, but that which he was shown. And that was this same Holy Spirit that showed him and showed him things to come. And it is now that same Holy Spirit that God has given us to do likewise. So I open that up to my fellow sisters here.
I believe you covered that okay.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, praise the Lord. The next one is controls, movements, and events of believers. And this is Acts 10, 19 through 20.
While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.
Okay. I was forgetting where you were stopping. And chapter 10 of Acts, I think as we go through this, it's going to be very well established in all of us that this is the chapter wherein we meet Cornelius, and Cornelius and his household and others are saved by the blood of the Lamb, baptized in the Spirit by the act of God, and baptized in water by Peter and those with him. And so Megan just read a little section out of that. And what you see here is the Lord sending Peter. He's not there at Cornelius's yet, and Peter doesn't have a clue that that which he and others have received as Jews is likewise for Gentiles. But God's gonna let him know that. And this is where we see the Spirit leading him. And it says here, control movements and events. And this is a great chapter in support of that statement.
You also see here, you see Peter has what it says is a trance, and there's sort of an interchange between him and the Lord. You know, the voice comes and says, kill and eat, and Peter says, not so, and there's this conversation, and it's done three times, and then Peter doubted in himself what he had heard. He, like we do, you know, Lord says something, and we think, was that me? Where did that come from? It's gone now, what happened? And the Lord brings another confirmation and says, you know, people are here to see you, and go down and go with them, and don't doubt. This is sort of the confirmation as he's going to see when he gets downstairs. There are these three men that have come to look for him. And this is sort of how the Lord confirms what he has said. And it always, as we know, when the Lord gives you something, it is in accordance with Scripture, and it always turns the glory to him.
And you know, when you move into the next one, you see that the very same Spirit had moved upon Cornelius, who then sent, in accordance with that instruction of the Spirit, men to get Peter. So that same confirmation occurred on that side, because they were told, you know, there's a man in Joppa. You can go back and read it. I'm not going to say it right enough without doing so. And they, led of the Spirit, did likewise. So all the way, both ways, you know, that confirmation occurred and actually continued. Not in the sense of the, it did continue, because Cornelius was told, you know, and he'll bring the, you know, the words, of salvation, or of, I don't know, what does it say? I'm gonna just flub it up. And it says in verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So the very clear instructions that Cornelius obeyed to the letter, and of course, as you pointed out, Megan, it was exactly what happened, which is confirmation of that which Cornelius had heard. But you see Cornelius believing. You know what I mean? He did it. He exactly gave that instruction exactly as was given unto him. And his servants then performed that instruction exactly as it was given unto them. Miss Anne.
Cornelius, he didn't doubt at all that what he heard was from the Lord. He believed it, and so then he did it. How many times do we waver and we're not sure, you know, we don't believe. And we have to become quick to believe what the Spirit tells us, and then perform whatever he has told us to do.
Amen. You know, what's interesting too is his servants did likewise, but at the word of Cornelius.
Right. Which should be an example to us as servants of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So the next one is directs in selection of leaders. And the scripture reference here is Acts 13:2.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them."
Okay. So there you have it. They were praying and fasting, and the Lord gave commandment to them. And they did that. They separated Saul, who is Paul, and Barnabas unto the work that God had called them unto, which they went forth and did. And then the next one, unless you guys want to say something there, is tells where to do his work. Now, Megan, if this one is Acts 16, if you'd read 16:6-7, I'd appreciate it.
Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, am I in the right place?
Mm-hmm.
After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Okay. So here you see where they're out ministering, and you know, this is one of Paul's, what they call them, missionary journeys, but you see here where the Spirit leads them, and here he actually forbids them. His leadership is to forbid them to go to some place. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and so they turned and went elsewhere.
And they were going to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go there either.
Yeah. And as you very strongly pointed out, Anne, here's an example of them doing even as they were told, and there's no testimony of doubt here. Or slowness.
Right. They, the Holy Ghost said, don't go there, and so they didn't.
Yeah.
How many times have we felt or heard or actually been told by maybe one of our elders, our leaders, that we shouldn't be doing something, and we argue about it and then go do it anyway, and it's really messed up when we do. So we have to learn to be obedient.
Yeah. And you know, you really have to trust the Lord to do that, because, and when I say that, not like, well, God says I have to do it, so I got to do it. But, you know, our trust is always in him, in that obedience. And if you can understand what I'm saying, God is with us. He's there. He's not turned our back on us or gone doing something else and doesn't care. I mean, he's with us, so that if we will walk as he has commanded us to walk, he ain't gonna let us down. And we have to keep our hearts stayed upon that knowledge, because it's the truth, and it's what will, it's really kind of the substance of faith, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to believe. We just read Acts 16. The next one is obedience, a must. So the very first one on that is Romans 8. And Megan, if you'd read verses 13 and 14, if you'd give me a second to get there too, I'd appreciate it.
Alrighty.
I'm there.
Good. Romans 8, 13 and 14. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
You know, I wish I had, hold on a second. Anne, would you, chat about that for me, please?
I'm sorry, was that 8:14?
Yes.
And 13.
13. I had to read 13.
Oh, okay. I was actually looking in Joshua real quickly there.
You can do that too.
Basically, I was looking back, you know, we were talking there about how when the elders that the Lord has put over us tell us to do something, then we should do it. And I was looking back with Joshua, where the people told Joshua they would do as he commanded because the Lord was with him.
Yeah, it says only the Lord thy God be with thee, I think is how it's put.
Yeah. I should have kept it open so I could read it. And that's where we need to be. And trusting that the Lord is with the leaders he has appointed over us. Whether our discipler, our pastor, our apostle, then we need to trust the Lord is with them and obey them. And sometimes that's very difficult. You look at the man and you see the man and you know they're not perfect. But in the Lord, what they tell us to do is perfect.
You know, Annie.
Go ahead.
You mentioned Joshua. There's a verse in Joshua chapter 11, verse 15, that puts what you said, and that, you know, could fit under here, except that it's Old Testament and the Holy Spirit is talked of in this sense in the New Testament. But in the sense of obedience, Joshua 11, verse 15 says, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. There's a picture of obedience. Moses was obedient to the Lord and took down what the Lord told him. He gave it faithfully to Joshua, and Joshua faithfully obeyed Moses.
Right.
And nothing was left undone of what the Lord had told Moses to do.
That is a very good example. You know, I would recommend everybody, you know, go back and read Joshua. There's a lot of excellent examples of obedience in that book. And we could learn from it.
Our
trust has to be in the Lord. And we have to trust the Lord that he picks the proper leaders for us. And that they are guiding us in the direction we need to go.
Another kind of support to that is it says God gives us rulers after our own hearts.
That's right. If we're rebellious and don't want to follow the Lord, then that's the kind of leader we're going to have.
Yep. I mean, gosh, if you stop and think of testimonies in the Word, look at Samuel. Look at what the Lord did. And he was under Eli, who God judged.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Joseph, who had all sorts of unjust things done to him. And he was under, he was a servant when he was in Egypt. He was a slave when he was in Egypt. He was a prisoner when he was in Egypt. And yet, none of that could lead him astray, you know what I mean? And nothing, you know what I'm saying? You see the faithfulness of God, but you also see these people being faithful to whoever it is that they're serving, without judgment, because their faith and hope is in the Lord. Period.
And that's where ours has to be. Our faith and our trust need to be in the Lord.
Amen.
And if that's the case, then we can in good conscience, follow the leaders he's put over us.
Amen. The next one under this, obedience is a must, is found in Galatians chapter 5,
well,
verse...
We really didn't discuss the 8.
Okay. I was happy to think we did.
I backed us up.
Yeah, no, thank you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I mean, it's really rather simple and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
How can you think that you're one of his if you're not going to follow him?
That's right.
Follow his leading.
Yeah. And I know you said she read 13 also.
Yes.
That, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you let the flesh lead you around by the nose, you know, and let's face it, our flesh can get us into a lot of trouble, then we're going to die. But if we allow the Spirit to lead us and to help us mortify the flesh, to help us put that flesh down, to put that old man off, that's then we shall live, and that's when we become the sons of God.
You know, I know for myself, and I hope that if you all have a similar kind of testimony, you will share it. But I know for myself, one of the Sunday services back a few months ago now, when it was on Proverbs 1, I believe, and Davey talked about how, at the very end of the service, he talked about how do you ever feel like you're praying and there's a brass ceiling. He said that's when you're praying in your flesh. When you pray in the Spirit, and I don't mean that it has to be in tongues, although we know that that is profitable and to be done. But then, because see, it's an act, it's where you believe, because see, God said that his sons sacrifice was sufficient to give us entrance, and through faith in that, we actually are in the throne room of God. And that was something that, for me, was something I could see, believe, and walk in. And so it is here when you read this where it says, but if ye through the Spirit, now see, if you will believe the Word of God, you can believe that through the Spirit you can. And if you believe you can through the Spirit, then you can actually do through the Spirit. Because you believe Him.
Amen.
Megan or Ann, did you have anything now that we have actually done Romans 8:14?
Not unless Megan does.
Okay. Thank you, though, for keeping me on track here. So it is Galatians 5:18, and I need to get new glasses, just so everybody knows. So if I act like I'm wondering, it's because I'm not sure of what I'm reading.
Galatians 5:18?
Yes.
But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law.
Amen. You know, one of the things about being led of the Spirit and this place that if we take God at his word, we dwell is we're not dwelling in the flesh. I mean, yeah, we are in this life, and yeah, we... You know, I mean, it's just there, and we know it, and...
Well, physically, we're there. Physically.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say?
I mean, and, you can't leave it, it's here.
Yeah. But by faith, through the operation of God, both the blood of the Lamb that was wrought for our forgiveness, which we need. So it's there, though, which we needed, which we still need. The baptism in water where we reckon ourselves dead and then are translated into his body, which dwells in heaven. And then he gives us his spirit so that even as Jesus walked in the same manner, it was the spirit and Jesus' obedience to it that brought forth that testimony that we all know was Jesus. And, but if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. The law is of the flesh. The spirit is of God. And we walk because we believe him, because we know his blood was sufficient. We accept that. We know his grace is there. And we accept that. And we know who and what we are and where we dwell. And that's where we walk and that's where we dwell. And we live there by faith because of what he did. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Are you guys with me?
Yes. You know, I couldn't get my mute off. That mute button sometimes is ridiculous. Yeah, we're with you, and I agree. We are dwelling with him.
And you know, you can't be led of the Spirit without faith. It is by faith, because we take him at his word. We look unto him. We believe him. And then we can see. Then we can hear. Then we can do.
Also, if you're led by the Spirit, he's not going to lead you by the law.
No. The whole point of Christ's death is that we couldn't keep it. He kept it for us.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he took our place.
And he nailed it to the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I know, I think it's in A Tale of Two Cities, but I know there was an actual case where there was a husband and a wife, and the wife was a Christian and the husband was not. And he was condemned to death, and the wife actually took his place. And I think the same thing happens in the book A Tale of Two Cities. But that's, and the man became a Christian in the real life story, but that's what Christ did for us. We were condemned. Christ took our place. Praise God, right?
Amen.
The last section here is gives life. The Spirit gives life. And the first one, that is John 6:63.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen. And that quickening is, do you know?
Life-giving.
It's, what's that, Anne?
Life-giving. To okay. Make alive, to give life, to revitalize.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Much better said than I would have. let me go back to it, 663. But it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh doesn't profit anything. Doesn't profit anything. And yet we get so hung up with the flesh as though it does. The Spirit, it quickens. It makes alive. It gives testimony of he who is life. You know what I'm saying? Who is, it just, he brings the word of truth. He brings the word of life. He brings the word that is really real. And not the lie that we are so familiar with. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Then it goes on, the next thing was, but there are some of you that believe not. And I know it's easy to struggle to believe. And I know it's easy to doubt that you do believe. Or, I mean, we all have different ways of how these things work on us. But believe. Believe it for yourself. Know it's God's will for you. It's God's will for me. We can stand up and walk in that confidence. Because he wouldn't have given it to us if it wasn't his will. He wouldn't have told us the promises if they weren't true. What hope would we have if it was dependent upon something in us? It's dependent upon him and our hope and obedience because we believe that. We walk after him because we're taking him at his word. And in that we are delivered from all the lies and deceits and everything else that are so easy to cause us to doubt and struggle and lose hope. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Go ahead, Anne.
The flesh brings us death. And let's face it. I mean, it was... I was 28 when I came to the Lord. So for 28 years, I was led by my flesh. And that became the norm for me. And it was just habit. And it's hard sometimes to break away from that because we're so used to it controlling us and us giving into it.
It's kind of like our comfort zone, right?
Right. We're familiar with it. You know, we're familiar with it. And it's not easy to turn against that because we've had so much practice in obeying the flesh. It's hard all of a sudden to say, you don't matter.
And to know we have power over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But sometimes it's difficult to put that in. We know the words. We've read the scripture. We know the words, but it's still sometimes hard to not listen to the flesh. And you can't beat yourself over it. You can't beat yourself up over that. When you realize that's what's happening, then you go to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you. And why he wipes the slate clean. And you go forward trying to follow doing the best you can to follow the Spirit and listen to the Spirit and not listen to the flesh. Am I making it clear?
Yes, very clear. It's one of the reasons why fellowship is so important, because we do get built up and, I mean, we're joined with others who believe even as we do. And when I say that, we need that, our sisters and brothers who believe, because it shores up our own faith, strengthens our own faith. It salts us even as we salt them. And the things that may want to latch on to us that are not of God, don't get a foothold then. You know what I'm saying? Or certainly have less of a chance to. I mean, we get strengthened by being amongst people with the same testimony, the same hope, the same knowledge.
And that's why he tells us not to forsake fellowship.
Yeah.
It's easy to think that people don't understand your life or your situation, and so you pull away from fellowship and you feel even more so, which the truth is, you know, when you're fighting the fight of faith, well, it might, in some ways, your circumstances may be different, the fight the same.
Yeah, you're right on that, Megan. The fight is the same. My life isn't your life. My life isn't Robin's. I don't have to deal with the things that you individually deal with. I have my own things, but the fight is still the same.
Yeah. And it is really to believe God. When we do that, then we are not under the law. We tend to fight in the flesh so often. You know what I'm saying? Fight and view victories or not victories in the flesh. The fight is really to believe God, period. Notwithstanding how we feel, what we see, what we've done, what we haven't done, how long we've been here and look at us or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? It's to believe, and then because we believe, to go forth. It really is that simple.
You know, and if you are having trouble in an area where you're fighting against the flesh, go to a brother or sister, ask them to pray for you, ask them to support you in your fight. And that's what we're here for.
Yes. Yeah. And we're built up ourselves. You know what I mean? When we get to minister the hope unto another. The next one is Romans 8:11.
I thought I had it, but I didn't. Sorry. Romans 8. 8. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
That's pretty cool. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it does. Amen. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That very same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to quicken us.
The word quicken basically means to give life.
Yeah, make alive or something.
Yeah.
He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I believe, right?
Amen.
Amen. You know, just yep. to touch on that then. He doesn't quicken your mortal body to do whatever you want to do. He quickens your mortal body so that you're able to do what he has for you to do when you're led by him. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, you have to figure that quickening, even as if you, everybody I believe has experienced, is he, we have gained life in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Where we started is not where we're at. And you can see that quickening, even in your own life. You know what I'm saying? He quickens us. He brings us life. We actually come to embrace it and receive it and walk in it. And he quickens us more and we receive more and
it goes back to that verse, the last verses in Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I think, but it has that same kind of quickening. Your strength is renewed. You have more, you know, the energy to go forward in him. Does that make sense?
Yes. Second Corinthians 3:6. And would you read starting at 5?
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Okay. Now this is the Apostle Paul giving testimony here. And we know what his testimony was, and his testimony was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's talking here about how God made them able to be ministers of that New Testament, which that testament was purchased and sealed in the blood of the Lamb, not of the letter, we've already talked about the law, but of the Spirit, which is what we're talking about. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
I looked up the word letter there.
Yep.
And interestingly to me, it says a writing, a letter, note, epistle, book, etc., plural of learning. And then it's got some other things. And it just, it reminds me of seminaries. You know, what did it say? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's the Lord who gives us what we need to be able to firstly understand his word and then to be able to walk in it and to be able to minister that as an able minister. It's not some piece of paper that says you've got some, you know, great degree in English, basically, Old English or Hebrew or Greek, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Lacking the Spirit, which is the life. It's just dead words.
And you know, we, gosh, haven't we had it be dead words in us? I mean, I can certainly.
Oh yeah.
But it is life-giving, but it really, it's a walk of faith, believe in the Word of God. And when we do that, we transcend it being just words and knowledge that puffeth up and is vain and kills. I don't know if that was well put, but. Anne, did you have anything more on that one?
No, I didn't, but I did like what Megan said about the seminary. Concerning the letter.
Yeah.
That made a lot of sense. Because I know we've had people that come out here that have been to seminary. There was one guy came out, was on his third doctorate degree from seminaries, and he thought he knew everything. But he didn't know the Word of God. All he knew was, well, my professor said. And Davey would say to him, what's the Word saying? And he had no clue. His whole faith was built on what his professors in seminary said, what he had learned in their textbooks, not in what the Word of God said. And that makes so much sense when she brought together the seminary concerning the letter in the Scripture.
You know, it's really what the churches are built on is people's theory, so to speak, of God rather than the Word. And I know that what had happened with Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic monk in Germany, is he got saved because he read the Word of God. I think it was Romans that he read, where he recognized suddenly that what he was reading wasn't what he'd been taught. And as we all know, he's he wasn't the only split or the first split from Roman Catholicism, but he was one that established through him. Protestantism began to be established and victorious. Like, he was never martyred. Martin Luther was never martyred, I don't believe. And yet many more who had come to the same faith had, but it was through reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden he saw what he had learned wasn't in agreement with it. And he switched allegiance.
Well, it's interesting, the word Protestant comes from the word protest. And basically, Protestantism started as a protest against Roman Catholicism.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was kind of interesting because the way they used to bring things up to discuss, I guess, was they put it on the church door or whatever, and that's exactly what he did. He nailed this thing up, and I don't know if he knew that the church in Rome understood what he was being taught or something. I don't know if he knew they were in disagreement with the truth, you know what I'm saying? He found out that they were. He made a choice, you know. He chose God.
You know, talking about things like this, Steve yesterday or recently said something to me about a comment that was made about him or, you know, people believing Davy, and I said, I don't. And later I thought about it and I thought, well, I don't believe on Davy, but on the other hand, yes, I believe what he says because he always takes you back to the Word. And so the Word is what he stands by, so you can go and check to see if what he is saying is right or not. And if it isn't, go and show him. And that's not, you know, in seminary and such places, the Bible isn't what's held up and adhered to. It's the professor. It's a person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and their great intellect or something.
Yes.
Well, everything Davy says is in agreement with the Word. I mean, which is what you said, but if you read the Word and know the Word, it agrees with the Word. It actually, of course, enlarges for us, but it's always in agreement.
Yes.
Now, Davies, ever since I've known him, has always said, check me out.
Yeah.
If I tell you something, you can check the Word.
And Ann was very forward to do so, right, Ann?
That, religiously, I guess. I searched the scriptures to try and prove him wrong. And it turned out I couldn't. Because everything he said was backed up by scripture. And he's also said, if something doesn't seem to be backed up by scripture, come to him. Show it to him in the Word, because if he's wrong, he'll admit to that and correct it.
Yeah. Amen. Plus, it's fair to go to somebody and bring something like that to them, not just reject them without an opportunity to find out one way or the other, you know.
Because if somehow they're wrong and we know that, we don't bring it to them, then we are guilty.
Plus it festers in us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But if we don't go to our brother or sister and point out through using scripture that maybe they've gotten off a little bit, then we are guilty of, you know, the blood on their head. We're guilty. Our blood are on our hands if we don't correct them.
Amen.
And I personally don't want that.
No. But I know a lot of times we kind of get caught up in in not knowing something or misknowing something, and it isn't profitable. Or really seeing something that is not what you heard or thought you heard, and you need to, we need to be willing to go and humble ourselves and bring it up. At least for me, it's what it is humble yourself and bring it up.
Right, because sometimes maybe we're misreading it and we go to tell them they're wrong, and then they turn around and show us they were right and we're wrong.
Yeah.
That's a very humbling thing, and a lot of us don't want to put ourselves in that position.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
But it's not fair to the other, because you really do begrudge them then. I mean, there is that root of bitterness that will grow. The last scripture in this is 1 Peter 3:18.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Who better to make that statement than Peter? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Now, if you don't think that his blood is sufficient for you, well, Peter's a great example, because his blood was sufficient for Peter, and Peter needed that sufficiency. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. I mean, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We need it. And he did it, and he was willing to, that he might bring us to God. He paid the price to do so. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, this is speaking here about Christ. But it is also the faith and the hope and the sacrifice, so to speak, that we make with the same victory and hope that he had becomes ours because of what he did and what we can do and avail ourselves of in and through him. We get to partake of that very life of Christ.
I'd like to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, and read that.
Would you like to read it, Anne?
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
2 Corinthians 13, verse 4?
Right.
Okay.
For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you.
Has nothing to do with us, right? Or what we can do, or it's him.
It's him. We are weak, but we'll be able to live by the power of God toward you with Jesus. And I just kind of fit in with that last scripture we read.
Yep, perfectly. All comes down to believe in him.
Amen. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's hard to do.
Sure. But then, you know what? I guess the hardest thing in that case is to forgive yourself.
Yep.
And believe again.
Amen.
That's why his blood is sufficient and needed to be, because we needed it to be. So next week we move into the three baptisms for believers. If you are kind of following along or want to go and take a look ahead of time. And thank you all very much for joining us, and may the Lord bless you all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.